It's a beautiful sunny morning this Friday, April 12. We're trackside at Royal Randwick ahead of day two of the championships tomorrow. And Joshy Reynolds joining us this morning, filling in for Pup, who I'm sure is just flying over there in the IPL. Loz is here, and Ali Mosley's just given us her mail. I'll just repeat that quickly. Race 1, number 7, Rasp. 9.50 to win, 2.70 the place with Tab. Race 1, number 7. She likes race 4, number 5, Aniza. $5 to win, $1.90 to place. Race 5, number 6, Schwartz. $5 to win, $2 to place. And in race 10, she likes number 4, Tashi, and number 14, Soltaire, which are 5 and 5.50 respectively. The multi is flying as well this morning, courtesy of Loz. And in its usual spot on the Tab app and website, click on sport and today's offers, and you're going to the $5 million feature.
Yeah, I am. I'm going race, well, Queen Elizabeth, I will. Race 8, number 8, via Sestina to win. But then the race before, which is the Sydney Cup, race 7, number 11, Man Zeus to run top 4. And if you want to be a part of that, you don't have to be a part of it. But if you want to be a part of that, you can. It's paying $8. And just remember to send through your name and your tip for tomorrow on the text line, because I'm going to choose 5 people and I'm going to put it up on our Bets Friends page just to track to see whether our listeners...
How good they are.
Is it, look, Loz, I love the multi. Absolutely love it. Is it fair to say that a tipping expert in Ali just had absolutely no faith in it?
It wasn't a vote of confidence, put it that way.
No.
Well, what's that? Well, why is that, Loz?
Well, the horse hasn't been going great.
So what is your thought process around why you've backed it?
Why?
Yeah.
Derby winner?
Yeah.
Will cover the...
Needs
the,
this trip
yep.
at this stage ne- of
needs
preparation.
Needs the distance.
Yep.
Chris Waller.
Hey, I'm asking Loz, mate. Stop helping him out.
Sectionals.
Sectionals. Good and, sectionals.
And just to the eye. Just looks good on the eye. So that's one of the
great
reasons.
Great answer.
Started mounting yard service. Okay. Other news around. Well, last night, it was 22-20 in the footy. So the Roosters, a much-needed win, 22-20 over the Knights in Newcastle. In the AFL, big win for the Brisbane Lions against the Melbourne Demons. 22 points the margin there. Big news in the US. O.J. Simpson, former NFL star, acquitted of double murder, has died of cancer, his family said in a statement, aged 76. And that 1994 car chase, of course, in L.A. was, well, for people in the States, that was a where were you moment. Adam Pengilly is about to join us, and we'll get his thoughts, no doubt, on the Masters. I'm sure he's been watching. Bryson DeChambeau in the clubhouse, leading by 3 shots, a 7-under-65. The start was delayed for 2.5 hours, by the way, due to weather. So Denny Willett, Will Zalatoris, Scotty Scheffler are those 3 shots off the pace at 4-under. Cam Davis, he's dropped a shot. He's back to 2-under after 10 holes. And where's our man Cameron Smith on this leaderboard? Maybe Adam Pengilly knows. Morning, mate, how are you?
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys. Yeah, unfortunately for Cameron Smith, he found a familiar fate going in the drink on 12 on that famous hole. His tee shot ended up in the drink. He took a double bogey and he's back to even par, unfortunately. So, yeah, promising starters are all come undone with one shot so far for Smithy.
Gee, Bryson DeChambeau, that's an outstanding opening round, isn't it? And Tiger, I don't know if you've seen much of Tiger. He birdied the first and was 1-under through 3 and looked to be playing pretty well.
Yeah, he just made bogey on the fourth, though, so he's back to even par. That's a tough hole, the fourth. It's a long, long par three. I think Jason Day just made double bogey on that hole as well after making a birdie on his opening few holes. So that group obviously struggling a little bit with the fourth hole. I've caught a bit of the action this morning, Mido. It looks fantastic. Great start by Bryson DeChambeau, but what about Scotty Scheffler?
He's lurking.
He's lurking. Do you know there's actually a big story actually developing with Scotty Scheffler, because his wife is due to give birth any moment now, and he's almost flat saying that he'll go to the birth and obviously withdraw from the tournament if that happens. So I reckon there's about 80 other golfers, 80 other odd golfers in the tournament.
Hold on. What does that mean for the guys who have backed him? I don't know who's backed him, but...
yeah,
A couple of my mates have absolutely built it in.
Money back, maybe grub. Who knows?
Oh, awesome, awesome. Good to know.
But, let's be honest. If he's in contention on Sunday and she goes into labour, I'm tipping he stays and plays the final round of the Masters. He chipped in off the bunker on the back of 12. Like, just, you just think, okay, wow, this guy is completely dialed in. So, yeah, most people thought he was going to be hard to beat this week, and he certainly started the tournament like he's going to be hard to beat. And just catching a bit of the other action, boys, Minwoo Lee obviously had a... had a pretty torrid start to the tournament. He's four over, I think Evan told you guys. He got back to even par, and now he's dropped another couple of shots on a couple of holes, back to two over. So it's been up and down day for the Aussies so far, and it's going to be, looks like Bryson DeChambeau and Scottie Scheffler are the men to beat at the moment.
All right, let's talk some NRL. What did you make of the Roosters' performance against Newcastle last night?
Yeah, good win, Loz. They certainly needed it, didn't they, given their start to the season. But I just can't help but think, given a team like Newcastle, they're going to be sort of scrappy and clawing, and they've got fine margins if they want to make the top eight this year. They're going to review that game last night, I reckon. And even you go down to the very last set of the game, Caelan Ponga makes that break, long break off the kick return. He looks around, there's no one with him. And then on one of the final plays of the game with 20 or 30 seconds to go, Adam Elliott's standing there begging for someone to push up and support him for an offload. They would have scored. He was 2 or 3 metres out from the line. And you've got guys like Jackson Hastings and Kai Pearce-Paul, so it looks like they're setting up for the next play. And I get it. They've played 79 minutes and 30 seconds, and obviously their legs and lungs are burning. But when you look at a game like that, it just comes down to fine margins. And I think the Roosters deserve their win. Joey Manu. Has there been a player, guys? I'll ask this question. Has there been a player in the last 10 or 20 years who's been such a consistently good player that's never properly played in their preferred position? Because that's what he is. He could be an absolute elite fullback in our game if he played there every week, but just because of the team he plays for, he doesn't get to play there.
I could think of one at representative level, Tom Turbo.
Mm. Yeah, he'd be the other one, was at rep level, but not. I'm talking about more club level more than anything.
Yeah, club level. Oh, offhand, I can't think of one. No. I'm sure there's someone. Mm. Josh Reynolds. Hooker.
Yeah. Well, I did have a good record at the Tigers. Yeah. I was there for 3 years, played 6 games, but 6 good games.
6 good ones.
And it's still your fault, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. 18 Dally M points.
Yeah. Just got them all. You're right, Adam, though. I totally agree with you. They are a big play team, Newcastle. I find that they look to Caelan for a big play. Mm. They look to set up for that big play. Adam Elliott, you know, like you said, however long to go, looking for that offload. I sort of mentioned earlier on in the show, I think without Caelan, if anything did happen to him through the year, they would really struggle. But nice bounce back from the Roosters in that game. Made on to South. Obviously, plenty happening there. Mal Meninga has been tossed up for the job. But it's been documented that he might not be able to do the South role as well as the Kangaroos. What are you hearing about that, mate?
Yeah, I think that's true, Josh. Like, he might have a choice to make, and clearly South haven't gone down this path yet. Jason Demetriou is still coaching South tomorrow night against the Sharks, and he potentially might have a few more games as well to try and turn them around. But certainly the word yesterday was that if Mal wants to take on the South role in the caretaker capacity, it will have to come at the expense of the Kangaroos job. I don't think the Australian Rugby League Commission is completely comfortable with him doing both jobs, if that's going to be the case. So, and Mal came out yesterday saying that he doesn't want to forego the Australian job if it comes down to that. So we might not have a conversation at all, there might not be a conversation to be had at all after this, because Mal might have to make a choice, and I think he'll probably side with the Kangaroos. We know he's done that job for such a long period of time. He's extremely proud to be the Australian coach. So I don't think he wants to do anything that could sacrifice that or put that in jeopardy, so to speak. So, yeah, it might not be as straightforward as what a lot of people were thinking.
I'll tell you what, Adam, and I know it's part of the territory when you're a first-grade coach, but, geez, I feel sorry for Jason Demetriou.
Oh, I agree with you, Loz. I 100% agree with you. I think you'd just like to know where he stands.
Yep.
I think South's hierarchy and their officials and owners just want to see their team put in some effort tomorrow night and really have a crack. I know it sounds simplistic and whatever else, and we talk about the game being wins and losses, but the thing they've been most concerned about is the manner of their defeats. And if they get another one like that against tomorrow night, well, then it might be hard for him to survive the bye round getting into round 8. But if they bite down the mouth guard and have a real crack tomorrow night, even if they don't win, it might buy him just a little bit more time to try and work on them throughout that bye week and see how they go against Penrith and Melbourne in their next two games. And then who knows what can happen. But I think they need to have a good performance, really test the Sharks and show they're playing for their coach. And if they do, I reckon he might still be in charge heading into the week after the bye.
Adam, plenty of talk around Josh Schuster. He got granted some personal leave. Obviously told by Manly he's able to look elsewhere. Are there any clubs jumping out as favourites to get his services, mate?
Yeah, I don't think so, Josh, at this stage. Initial ring around of most of the clubs in NRL yesterday. And, of course, it's only very fresh. It only happened sort of 24 hours ago. But most clubs have sort of said thanks, but no thanks at the moment. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say that will change. That can change, no. Boz. You know that better than most.
Yeah. Adam, can I just ask, mate? You probably don't know the answer because I don't know whether a lot of people do know the answer to how his contract is structured. But I'm thinking it's all about value and it's all about price. But if someone's going to pay $800 for him, I don't think anyone will be prepared to do that.
Oh, not a chance. There wouldn't be a chance in hell anyone would go anywhere near $800,000 for Josh Schuster from what he's shown the last couple of years. Mm. Now, if we get 2 or 3 months down the line, and all of a sudden someone goes, you know what, I might be able to get Josh Schuster for 250 or 300 grand. Do you think a club's going to take a risk on that? I would say definitely. Maybe. Yep. Exactly. I reckon there's a chance. So, listen, the club's done the right thing by Josh in terms of granting him some personal leave. So they're going to give him a couple of weeks to get away from rugby league, get away from that club environment, just try and work on his headspace, which I think is the right thing to do. Obviously, his management will work on trying to get something sorted in the next month or two, but I wouldn't expect anything to happen quickly. And you know what? There was one guy I thought about yesterday that might be a good example for Josh Schuster. I think he knows him pretty well. It's Moses Sully. Like, everyone remembers the start of his career. Moses Sully had a lot of issues. He was at the Bulldogs and then at the Tigers, had issues with his weight and his application and everything like that. It took him a little bit of time to work out how to sort of get the best out of himself in a disciplined training environment like the NRL. But look at him now. I reckon he's a great player. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I thought a bit about this yesterday when we spoke to you, and you did mention the death of his great mate, Keith Titmus. I think that's not to be underestimated. I think that's had an enormous impact on him. And I know he had issues in terms of training beforehand, but I really do think that he needs a bit of love, care, attention.
Mm.
And I know that people will say, well, he's had that. And as a professional athlete, it's your job to get yourself ready in good physical peak performance to play NRL. But not everyone's the same. And I think you've got to work out personalities and you've got to treat people a little bit differently as well. And I think that the good coaches identify those players that need to be treated differently, and he just strikes me as one of those. I don't know him at all, but I think he just needs a bit more love and attention than some of the others.
Yeah, and just going back to that Keith Titmus point you raised there, Loz, and some of the evidence that was tabled in that coronial inquest was just heartbreaking. Like, some of the evidence was that after Keith had his a collapse in the dojo there at Narrabeen and had his seizure and whatever else. Like, Josh Schuster was there holding his hands as paramedics are trying to work on him, right? And the paramedics were virtually saying to Josh, mate, we need to clear the space. We've got to work on him desperately. And Josh was holding his hands because he didn't want to let him go. And that sort of stuff just breaks your heart, doesn't it? Like, it's so heavy. And I think you make a very, very good point, Loz. Like, it's, you know, you can't underestimate what impact that had on the kid going back a few years ago. He was still only a teenager at the time as well, right? His best mate. It's heartbreaking, right?
We better get a tip for tomorrow, mate.
I found it a really good program. I like one in the Arrowfield, actually, as a bit of value. Race 5, number 11, Jolie Star. I know she's only first up, and she might want to get over a bit further ground, but I think there's a lot of speed in this race. I think there's got to be a few question marks over Osmosis after his first up performance. I think she can just settle midfield and hopefully blend into the race. Will it be too short for her? Yeah, it might be, but I think she's definitely a class filly, and I'd give her a massive favourite running a race at an each-way price. So that's race 5, number 11, Jolie Star, the best value on the program.
$850 with Tab and $280 the place. Have a good weekend, mate.
See you, boys.
I've just watched one of our great footy players of all time, Earl Daly, deal with a cockroach like it was a lion attacking him.
Oh,
just incredible to
I'm
to
a
witness.
Scaredy cat. I don't like it.
Unbelievable.
Wow. What was that?
Well, I am. There was a mouse running around at home the other day. Michelle said, get it. I said, no, I'm not getting it. So she had to go and find it and grabs it.
So Michelle got the mouse.
Yeah, I don't do anything like that. Mate, I'm a scaredy cat.
Gobsmacked.
Right. No way in the world.
You must feel protected.
Australian.
I'll tell you a story off here. Anyway.
Australian netball legend Kath Cox. A very good morning to you, Kath. How are you?
I'm good, but I want to hear lots of stories.
I'll tell you what happened. We were lying in bed one night and we heard these noises outside. Michelle goes, I think there's someone outside. And I went, oh, rightio. So I got up and sort of pulled back the curtains, have a look around. And I said, rightio. I said, listen, doll, you go out and have a look. And she looked at me and said, what? She said, no, you go out. And I said, no, you go out because if something does happen, I can protect the kids.
That was my thought process.
And she's never letting me forget.
I bet she hasn't. Oh.
What a warrior.
Anyway, was anyone
doesn't
outside?
Doesn't that make sense? No, there was no one outside.
It was a cockroach.
So she goes outside.
Like if
she...
an intruder got in, you'd still throw the kids in front of them, though, wouldn't you?
No. I'd be all in front of them. I'd be in front of them. But, yeah, she never lets me forget it. But that makes sense, doesn't it?
No. What is the point?
No, right.
You're the man of the house, mate.
Yeah.
Got to go
out. Protect the house.
Oh, dear.
Well, how do we segue into Super Netball starting this weekend, starting tomorrow, Kath? And there's been a fair bit of off-season movement, I guess none bigger than the Australian captain, Liz Watson, going from the Vixens to the Sunshine Coast Lightning.
Yes, that's going to be a beauty. But also Courtney Bruce, the captain of the West Coast Fever and one of the Aussie defenders, also up and left her club and went to the Sunshine Coast Lightning. So we'll get our first look at them. They'll be one of the games of the round because they take on the New South Wales Swifts up on the sunny coast. And everybody's tipping the Swifts to win this season. They look like the most settled lineup that they've got. They've got Sam Wallace back from a major injury. But the Sunny Coast Lightning are now jam-packed with superstars. So it's going to be an absolute cracker up there on the Sunshine Coast.
Catherine, the maiden season for the Melbourne Mavericks. What can we expect from them?
Yeah, look, I'm excited about this. I'm calling this game, so I'm heading down to Melbourne tomorrow. It's the first of the new derbies. They're taking on the Melbourne Vixens, a much more established team, and a team that I think after the preseason tournament will make this grand final as well. Although they've lost Liz Watson, they've picked up a really good rookie who seems to be getting along with the job, no dramas. But the Melbourne Mavericks sadly have had two season-ending injuries to what would have been two of their starting seven players. It's left them in a bit of a hole. They didn't win a game in the preseason tournament. They're still trying to find their feet because they've had to put together 10 players. And working on combos takes so much time, let alone, you know, having to replace some of those players in the midst of all of that. So it's going to be a tough season for them. However, they've got one of the best coaches at the helm in Tracy Neville. So if anyone can pull them together and do it quickly, it'll be her. I think we'll learn a lot from the game against the Vixens on the weekend.
How are the Giants going to go this year, Kath? I know they got the West Coast Fever on Saturday night, but just overall for the year, what are we expecting from them?
Yeah, I'm actually expecting big things from them. They've got a couple of brilliant recruits, a New Zealand Silver Fern, ex-Silver Fern in the midcourt. But they've also picked up the Jamaican defender in Jodie Ann Ward. She came from the Magpies, the club that folded last year. So they've picked up a couple of players they desperately needed. Jo Harton, their English international, is in good form. It's the first time she's had a full preseason under her belt as well. So I think across the board, they've really they're looking a lot better this year, looking a lot stronger. So I'm expecting big things from them as well. But yeah, a big game for them to start, having the West Coast Fever over in Sydney for that game.
Catherine, Adelaide take on Queensland Firebirds, in their first game. Can you see the Thunderbirds going back to back this year?
Well, it'd be tough to do, given they've lost a couple of their superstars in the off-season, one being Elle Cardwell. She's up and left and gone to the Mavericks, and so has Maisie Nankervell's up and left and gone to the Mavericks as well. But from what I saw pre-season, they've got some really good homegrown talent, some South Australian talent coming through. that just, you know, those young kids that have no fear. They don't know what it's about yet. They play without any qualms. They're looking pretty good. The good thing about the Adelaide Thunderbirds is there's a lot of support behind them now after that premiership winning effort last year. They're playing all of their games at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre this year, so they'll have much more fan base there, a bigger support crowd. And again, I think we'll learn a lot from their first outing, which will be, as you say, against the Firebirds on Saturday.
Okay, so overall, your team to beat and perhaps a dark horse for the season. You can see going really well that's less expected, Kath.
Yeah, look, the Swifts for me, definitely. I agree with all the hype going around them. They don't have to worry about building combinations. They've just got to worry about upping their game plan and what that looks like and working on tactics and all that important stuff. So for sure, it's got to be them. But I reckon it's going to be them for the next 3 years. Yeah. They've signed some long-term contracts there as well. Dark horse for me, I reckon, could be the Giants with the recruiting that they've done in the off-season. I think, as I said, they've filled some really necessary voids there, and I reckon Julie Fitzgerald's going to be leading the helm. She coaches her 400th game this season. She's been around for a very, very long time, so plenty of experience at the helm.
Well, it's great to speak to you once again. If you ever need personal security, Loz is not your man.
Clearly.
I bring the muscle.
I'll ring my mum instead. Thanks, Loz.
See you, Kath.
Good on you, Kath. Enjoy the start of the season. Beautiful morning here, trackside at Royal Randwick, and the track is officially a soft five as it stands, heading towards day two of the championships tomorrow. And, well, the rails out 4 metres from the 1400 to the winning post and 3 metres the remainder. Just some other big news in racing in the last 24 hours. Tiakau Racing have retired Imperatrix. 5-year-old mare, 10 group ones, 19 wins from 27 starts, just shy of $7 million in prize money. Fourth in the TJ here at Randwick last Saturday. The stable said an in-depth vet check led to the difficult but necessary decision. It was purchased for $360,000 at the 2020 Magic Million sales. So Imperatrix has been retired and naturally will head off to the breeding barn. Bit of, you know, shame. I can understand the connections doing so, but just shame we never got to see it, particularly in the Everest. I guess the criticism, you know, 10 group ones. She's a star of the track. But I guess the criticism always will be, didn't contest that race.
I'm not going to be critical. I mean, I take that every day of the week.
Oh, we're taking it. But when you line her up as where does she sit as in our all-time great sprinters, I'm just saying that will be the knock.
Oh, well, she's not going to be a
it was predominantly Melbourne form, because that's what they say. I always think of Lonro. Melbourne people bag Lonro because he never won a Cox Plate.
Well, I don't know off the top of my head, but how many horses, sprinters, have won more than 10 group ones?
Very little. Black Caviar.
Well, there you go.
Oh, she's right up
so
there.
She's...
I know what you mean. There's always going to be someone saying that like that.
Just say what the knock will be.
Oh, yeah.
There's always a knock.
In racing, no one's ever satisfied completely, let me tell you.
I know about racing, rugby league, everything. They're always knocking.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Where was I? The Masters. Actually, no, Loz, I want you to give your multi out before I give a update.
This is what we're doing. We're going race 7, number 11, Manzois. Love saying that word, Manzois, to run top 4 into race 8, number 8, Via Sestina. To win. And if you'd like to be a part of that BSB multi, that's paying $8 this morning.
$8. Tab app, tab website, click on sports and today's offers. And then you've got to click on sports once you're in today's offers on the tab app.
And I've selected 5 people and I'm going to put them on the Bets Friends page.
Okay.
That should be up there by 8:30. So if you want to check, 8:30. I've just got my IT department working on it, which is one.
You want to confirm with them first about the timing? Or
well,
you...
no, I just put it on.
He puts it under
work.
Pressure.
Oh, doesn't he? What? On the spot. Poor IT.
IT. I've got to get more numbers in my IT department. How do I do that?
He's on fire today.
Oh, my gosh.
He is on fire.
Well, I can't work like this. When you're an ideas man, you know, you've got to have people that are
minions.
Nimble and just can react and go and do things. I want doers. All right? I don't want people to procrastinate.
Price and DeChambeau, 7 under par in the clubhouse, leading with a 65. Two shots clear of here he comes. Scotty Scheffler, 5 under through 15. Denny Willett, a 4 under 68. A few players at 3 under. Ryan Fox, Will Zalatoris, Matt Fitzpatrick and Mathieu Pavon. Where are the Aussies? Rory McIlroy's 2 under through 15. Mathieu Pavon.
Is he Frenchman? French? Right.
I really like the way he says that.
Yeah.
Pavon.
Gosh, where are these Aussies? They're dropping down. Cam Davis, 1 under through 12 holes. Not seeing. Cam Smith, even through 14. Adam Scott, even through 6. Tiger Woods, even through 6. So's Ricky Ponting or Brian Harman, even through 5 holes. Phil Mickelson, 1 over in the clubhouse. This some of your action there at the Masters this morning. We've had Europa League quarterfinal first legs this morning. Atalanta, the Italian club's gone to Anfield and beaten Liverpool 3-0. Roma have gone to Milan and won 1-0. Leverkusen, who are on the way to winning the Bundesliga, have beaten West Ham 2-0 in Germany. And Benfica have beaten Marseille 2-1. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Mido. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. And, gee, I'll tell you what, he is champing at the bit to get to Allianz Stadium tomorrow night. And this is a crucial derby in the context of the season. And how do you see it all playing out?
Well, I'm surprised they didn't have Grubby in the pre-match press conference yesterday at Allianz. I thought they would have had him front and centre. Look, it's very evenly poised, really. I know Sydney FC going as favourites. There's no doubt about that. But if there is a derby where form does go out the window, it's probably the Sydney derby, in terms of A-League derbies, of course. But both teams have won away from home. Both teams failed to win at home in the previous two derbies this season. So does that swing the favouritism slightly in Western Sydney Wanderers' way? We'll wait and see. But the fuse was lit yesterday. Luke Bratton, Milos Ninkovic at Allianz for the pre-match presser. Luke Bratton saying that something just comes over the players when a Sydney derby rolls around, despite what's gone before it. As far as the week before it, but derbies don't get forgotten. So the last one, Sydney rubs salt into the wounds of Western Sydney Wanderers, and I'm sure they'll be out for revenge, and this could well be the last time we see Milos Ninkovic in a Sydney derby. And he's been a very, very, very special player for the A-League, for Sydney FC, of course, and now winding down his career at Western Sydney. Depends what happens in the finals, of course. It could be the last time we see him in a Sydney derby.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, Mossy, that there's obviously plenty of tension between these two clubs. But I would say that Sydney FC will have to control those emotions because their discipline has hurt them over the last couple of games.
Yeah, you're spot on, Loz. It has. And also they're without two of their the rock-solid centre-backs, are two young boys who are away with the Ollie Roos. So, you know, a new central pairing, as we saw last week, didn't work for them up there in Newcastle, so they've got to overcome that. But you're right, there has been disciplinary issues in these games where the emotions just do boil, you know, to the top. And, you know, that's when you need cool heads, because at the end of the day, it's great to show emotions, great to have the drive, but it's not great to finish the game with less than 11 men because that loads the dice in the opposition's favour.
Mossy, away from the biggest game happening in Sydney, the Phoenix take on Melbourne over in New Zealand, mate. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I've got to bounce back, the Phoenix. Obviously, disappointing loss last week to the Central Coast Mariners. Great win for the Central Coast, but from a Wellington point of view, I'm talking about. And Victory have been going about their business quietly. They're, you know, I think their run for the Premier's plate is too late. You know, they're 5 points off the two top teams, Central Coast leading on goal difference from Wellington Phoenix. But Victory are poised. They're poised for a strike at the big one, the grand final, because they've got the roster to do it. Tony Popovich has got the experience as the manager to do it. He hasn't won a grand final yet, so huge expectation on his shoulders to do that. And I'm sure he's putting no one's putting more pressure on him than himself to win a grand final. So should be a ripper. I'm going to tip Wellington in that one. I just think at home, I think they'll bounce back. They've been fantastic at home this season. They play a great brand of football, and I think they'll get the points in a tight one.
What did we take from the Matildas 2-0 win over Mexico in San Antonio midweek?
I thought you were going to say, what did we take from Liverpool's performance this morning? I was going to
haven't got
to
there yet.
One word, nothing. No, look, I thought the Matildas' performance against Mexico was really good. Great outing. Good to see us win a game again without Sam Kerr, so that reliance on goals is not it proven once again. It's not just down to Sam Kerr, because she'll probably miss the Olympics, I would say. I thought Gustafsson rotated his players well. I thought the movement off the ball, on the ball, with the ball, and of the ball was very, very good. So, yeah, overall, I'd give it a high 8.5 out of 10 as a friendly. And, of course, the pointy end of the preparations for the Olympics are really starting to approach now. So it was an important game.
Talking about important games, how important is this one for Ange and Spurs when they take on Newcastle away? They're 3 points, in 3 points clear in that fourth place. But is this a game they should be looking to win? Is it a draw in your mind? How does it all play out?
Loz, there's no grand finals in the EPL, right? It's first past the post, but this is a grand final in so many ways, because, as you quite rightly said with your due diligence and research last week, Spurs still have to face Manchester City, Arsenal and Liverpool in the run home. So that means that Newcastle away, it means that Chelsea away, Burnley at home and Sheffield away are all grand finals. They can't afford to drop points there, and they're going to have to find a way to pick up points against Manchester City, Arsenal and Liverpool as well, by hook or by crook. And, you know, Ange won't be talking like that. He'll be going to every game expecting to win, but this one away to Newcastle is definitely a must-win.
Mossy, I know you don't want to talk about it, but Liverpool played today. Not a great result. They take on Crystal Palace in the EPL away. Do you think they'll bounce back, mate?
All I heard was Crystal Palace away at home on the weekend, mate. I didn't hear the first part. The line must have gone a bit dusty. But no, look, let's face into it. We gloat when we win, so let's own it when we don't. But we were horrible this morning. 3-0 was probably flattering in the end against Atalanta. And it gives us a mountain to climb when we go away to Atalanta in the second leg, 3-0 down on aggregate. But Jurgen Klopp, I thought this morning post-game, was absolutely spot on. He said, we were poor, we need to bounce back. I'm not going to re-watch that game until Monday after Crystal Palace, because all eyes and attention goes to that game at home. If I was Crystal Palace, I'd probably be shaking in my boots going to Anfield this weekend. I think you'll see a huge reaction from Liverpool, the look on the players' faces trudging off as they're trying to send Jurgen Klopp off with as many trophies as possible, said it all. And I think you'll see a huge reaction on Sunday, 11 o'clock Sunday night, our time.
Outstanding midweek Champions League fixtures, quarterfinal, first legs, Mossy. 3-3 Madrid and Man City. Arsenal and Bayern 2-2. Barcelona came from 2-1 down to beat PSG 3-2 and Atletico 2-1 over Borussia Dortmund. What'd you take from it all?
What you said, outstanding. I just love this time of the season with everything on the line in domestic leagues, in the Champions League. The goals that we saw in this first leg of the quarterfinals in the Champions League were just phenomenal. The standard of football, the intensity that it's played at was remarkable. Barcelona, I think that's a huge, huge result away to PSG. We know how much emphasis PSG put on the Champions League, and for Barcelona to go there and get the result 3-2, I thought was absolutely brilliant. Manchester City showed real grit and determination and quality, of course, we know that, to get a point away, which gives them a real, really strong chance of going through at home when Real Madrid go to the Etihad. And Arsenal, again, Bayern's not an easy opponent, At home, they would have been expected to win, but they ended up settling for the point. So that's a tough one away to bind in the second round, second leg, I should say.
We need a Moss multi.
Righto, here we go, Mido. Where are we? Here we go. I'm going to go with Wellington Thrubby to get over the top of Melbourne Victory at the Cake Tin in Wellington, into Melbourne City to beat Perth Glory at home, into Brentford to beat Sheffield United at Brentford.
Okay, let me find that one. Brentford to beat Sheffield United. So Wellington Phoenix, Melbourne City, Brentford Bees. Those that treble, $6.07 with tab. Mossy, have a great weekend. Keep an eye out for Grubby. Shirt off in the Cove.
Well, I'll be at Randwick tomorrow. Looking forward to a great Championships Day too. Guest of the Crismale family, of course, and looking forward to backing a few winners. And then Sydney FC and Western Sydney. It's going to be a long one for me, but I'm up for it. I'll see you there, Grubby.
Brad Davidson, good morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, guys. How are we all?
Very well. Can't wait for day two of the championships. We are here trackside at the moment. Beautiful morning. Soft five, the track. Via Sestina, $2.30 for the Queen Elizabeth. Top of the market. Pride of Jenny certainly has a lot of support at $3.80. Cascadian at $9. They're the three in single digits. Via Sestina, James McDonald thinks we could see something special tomorrow. How do you see this Queen Elizabeth?
Look, she's going to be hard to beat, guys, isn't she? I mean, so impressive a few weeks ago in the Rambut. The way she won that with just ease was ridiculous, considering how slow they went early in that race. So she did a phenomenal job to come from where she did and win so easily. Look, I suppose the little niggle is it is a different race there tomorrow. You know, gone from a 2,000-metre absolute walking race where they just sprinted home the last 600 metres to tomorrow where they're going to be going a long way out. They're going to be pressure on. It's going to be chasing a long way out. But, you know, that could play into her hands even more. I mean, who's to say if they didn't go hard there in the Rambut the other day, she doesn't win by three or four lengths the way she finished off. So I can't tip against her. I can't find sort of many holes in her form. And, I think she's awfully, awfully hard to beat. I think that the other Europeans probably the danger, plus to Carousel. You know, she just was out sprinted the other day, but her form in France over a staying trip's outstanding. And yeah, I think the Australian horses are a little bit too short, to be honest. I think Pride of Jenny is extremely well found in the market. I don't think 2,000 metres at Randwick's her go. And you know, Cascadian, he got it all put on for him in the Australian Cup, and it was a good win, but this is a different level. So, look, I thought the two Europeans were the standouts here. And, you know, it could be an Australian victory, but I'll be surprised if it is.
Davo, Circle of Fire is the favourite in the Sydney Cup. Who do you think can challenge it for the win?
Yeah, Josh, obviously probably a deserving favourite off that win last weekend, and gets in nice and light here. Overseas jockey comes over from a wide barrier. It'll be interesting to see the tactics and how that all plays out, but look, I thought the value and probably the best value play of the day for mine is Athabaskan at around that $8.50 mark. He was terrific in the Tankard at Weight for Age in a slowly run race. He really hit the line with gusto late when ridden colder. He gets down to the 52 kilos here. He profiles like he'll stay. He's on the home track. And just think everything's gone really well for him this preparation, all planned towards this race. And I think he's ready to run very, very well. So for me, Athabaskan's the one. Obviously, a stack of chances outside of that, but I thought he'd go awfully close. And, you know, Ash runs there at sort of $6, and he was there at $10 most of the week. And they finished alongside each other. I thought he was the better run last start, and he meets him much better at the weight. So I think he's the weighted horse this year.
What about in the Queen of the Turf, Davo? I know that Zoo Gotcha is favourite, but what about this horse from New Zealand, Campionessa?
Yeah, she's done a good job, Loz. You know, won a couple of starts ago, albeit getting all the favours, and then was solid again last time out. I think she's thereabouts, but I thought the Australians would do a tissue anyway. I thought would go awfully close to winning. She's just had a beautiful grounding for this race. They obviously put her in the Queen Elizabeth as well and decided to go to the Queen of the Turf. She won this race, I think, by about 2.5 lengths last year, and just draws that lovely gate to be able to tuck in, I think, behind Zoo Gotcha, grab the back of Zoo Gotcha in the run and follow her everywhere she goes, and then just peel out at the at the 250 and try to nab her on the line. So I thought they were the two, and I was happy to go with the tissue at the better odds to beat Zugotcha there and the Queen of the Turf.
Oh, gee, she's short in the Oaks, isn't she, Orchestral? $1.65, Zardozzi, $4.40. What do you make of it, Davo?
Yeah, they're not really letting you on, are they? The bookies, they're pretty soft, I think, these days. come on, take a punt, put up $1.92 at least. It's 2,400 metre Group 1, but anyway, they might drift her out a little bit come race time. But yeah, $1.65 is definitely short. I think she wins, though. I think she's too good. I thought their chance to beat her was the Vinery, and they weren't able to do that. Her New Zealand Derby win was probably the best of her career, so 2,400. I mean, the only way they beat her, in my opinion, is if she's over the top and she's had enough this preparation after a long, long campaign. But look, I think Zardozzi's a good horse, but I don't think she's in the same level just yet as Orchestral, and I think she's too good. But like you said, hopefully they do a bit better than $1.65 late in the piece.
What do you make of Imperatrix being retired?
Surprising, wasn't it? Yeah, I expected, thought they'd go around, maybe have a crack at an Everest in the spring or go on for another season. But 10-time Group 1 winner, and they've decided to retire her. That was the news there yesterday. Disappointing to lose her from the track, but we'll follow her throughout her career as a broodmare now. But I think it's fair to say she was a champion. I mean, 10 Group 1s in sprint races is not easy. I know a few of them were in New Zealand early in her career, but might not be at the same strength of the Australian Group 1s, but, 10 Group 1s is phenomenal, and she's been the standout sprinter in Australia for the last 12 months or so, 18 months, even if, she was beaten there in the TJ on the weekend.
Now, Dave, there's not a lot of love for my multi this morning. Can you pump me up a little bit? I've got Via Sestina to win, and this is the one they're all laughing at me with, Man Zeus in the Sydney Cup to run top four.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think that's laughable. Anyway, put it that way. I think he's prepped up beautifully for the 2 miles. He looks like he's going to stay the whole time. He's trained by the master, and I think you run very well. So I'm definitely not laughing at you there, Loz. You might even have the last laugh come next week.
See it.
Thank you, mate. No, that was a fair assessment.
Still not.
No, well, he's a professional.
It's not laughable. $8. We're running out of time, you two. Sorry. Right. You're playing, your best bet was, you're playing in the Sydney Cup.
Yeah, Athabasca for me, guys. $8.50, tricky day. And I thought he was the way to play it there at $8.50, or around that price anyway. He's just prepped up beautifully for this race, and I feel he gets in and sort of beats the handicapper with 52 kilos on his back.
Race 7, number 10, Athabasca in the Sydney Cup. Dave, have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Enjoy.